Okay, everyone, welcome to another microbrew episode of the Three Drinks In podcast. As always, you can look for full-length episodes every so often. Those have episode numbers. These ones do not. That's how we distinguish the two. Before we get into Star Trek Discovery, we want to tell you to go to Twitter and follow us at the number 3 Drinks In Pod. That's at 3 Drinks In Pod. You can find us on Instagram, Facebook, the website, and definitely go to iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, or TuneIn to subscribe and leave a rating or a review. We'd really appreciate that. All right. It's like the truncated version of all the spiel I give you in the first minute.
Yeah, they know. No one's listening to a microbrew for the first time.
True. But definitely do all that rating stuff and hit that subscribe button. So, yeah, we're going to talk about Star Trek Discovery Episode 3, Context is King.
Yeah.
Very dramatic title. Mm-hmm. That seems to have no meaning whatsoever. What'd you think of the third episode, Phil?
I still didn't like this. I still don't like the show. Yeah. I don't know what it is. You know, it's just not good. Poor writing. It's
very, very poor writing. Yeah. I have some notes. Do you have notes?
No, I had a lot of what the fucks. And I think I was texting them to you. And at one point, like halfway through, I just texted, what the fuck is this fucking show, this fucking thing? Like, I was like, I don't normally curse because I work with children literally all day long. So if I do it too much in my real life, I will do it in class and practice, and I don't want to do that. But this deserved a lot of fucks. So what
is true?
What notes did you have?
Well, the first 4 minutes of the show handles all you need to know, or rather of the episode, handles all you need to know about the previous 2 hours they made us sit through. You know, oh, look, we don't like her. She's you know, the mutineer. You know, she has a past. She's unsavory. She's depressed about it. Like, we didn't need to see it. Mm-hmm. Like, we just needed it to be set up for us. Like, this is an undesirable person over here who used to be a good person and somehow went off the rails. Mm-hmm. Like, that... You didn't need the first, you know, two episodes to set that whole thing up. But ultimately, I mean, the huge thing that's going to be the ultimate reason this will be unsuccessful critically is that there is a tremendous hole in the story, in that Michael Burnham is behaving as if she did something wrong that everyone should be pissed at her for.
They all act that way.
They all do, right. And that's not what happened. And it's kind of hard to watch this and see that be the motivation for a lot of what goes on when it's just not what happened. In the first episode, she mutinies against her captain, you know, with the best of intentions. But that's not what started the war. The Klingons did that independent of her actions. They are not related at all. And if we're going to go around now from this point forward pretending as if they wrote that in, it's going to be very embarrassing. And if people don't talk about this when, like, because now there's 1,000 of us yahoos out there on the internet and on TV talking about things directly after they happen. But if they don't bring this up, and not that I have the time to sift through all of it, then the whole thing is a farce.
Hmm.
So that's my big one.
I'm also, my biggest one in this episode especially was, I don't understand why the two things, they're keeping everything from her and the audience.
Yeah.
Okay, so, like, you know, with all the previews I said before, I don't know what the show is about. I just know it's not about a crew exploring space. It's going to be about this woman. Okay. But she doesn't understand what's going on in this episode. She gets beamed aboard this ship, and they won't explain anything to her until the very end.
And if you can call it that.
If you can call it that, because then there's like a little, they pull the rug out once again, and they also don't tell the audience So, like, we're not clued in and like, oh, I hope she finds out what's coming up soon. Like, we don't know either. And it doesn't work as well as it would in, say, Stranger Things or Fargo, because those things take place in a world very much like ours. Like, if you watch Stranger Things and you're like, okay, something's clearly not right because there is no underspace or sideways or whatever they call it, you know. Something is unusual, I can tell. This is all taking place in the future, so everything looks unusual. So I don't know what's supposed to be going on for real and not for real.
Yeah.
You know, like when that black goo starts to float and they have a black alert, as far as I can tell, because I've never seen that before, that's normal. I don't know, it's not. So they're always hiding everything from you. And I don't understand that.
It's also, I mean, I don't like to say this because it sounds so kind of hoity-toity. It's not Star Trek. And in fact, the worst episodes of Star Trek are ones where they did this.
Yeah, I'm okay with that now, though. I know it's not Star Trek now.
But, like, not in the sense, because like, I have other, like, nerdy things that are making kind of go, what the? But, like, this is, like, it's a structural, change that really makes it unfamiliar. And it doesn't help. But I think they didn't do it on the old shows, except for the bad ones. There was a few of them in Voyager where they did this, and you didn't know what was going on. But they didn't do it for that exact reason you laid out. You're in an alternate kind of world. It's a totally fictitious, futuristic environment. It's hard to know when you have to suspend disbelief and when you should be, you know, honestly scratching your head and critical of what's going on. You know, yeah. What is supposed to be weird about this?
And my other problem was you still have no one to enjoy being there. So I still don't like Michael Burnham for one is for the reason you said, and that what she's beating herself up about isn't an issue. It didn't really happen. Second, she's so closed off that she doesn't have any emotions except anger and resentment.
Yeah.
So I can't connect with this woman. Also, everyone in the galaxy is a total asshole.
Right.
There's not one nice person. Who's the good guy here?
So, but my third note is, you know, internal conflict among characters, which is what they're trying to promote, doesn't mean people just being dicks.
Yeah, no, I don't. Everyone's like, just a jerk all the time.
Again, such a, a core deviation that's bugging me. Hey, look, shuttlecraft. That thing that we didn't have in the first episode, there they are. They bring them onto the ship, you know, the prisoners, and it's like, okay, well, you're going to eat with the rest of us until you cause a fight, and then we're going to put you in the brig.
Oh, my God. What was that about?
That's just sloppy writing. Oh. It's just like, we need to find some way to get them to punch each other in the first 10 minutes. How can we do that?
Well, we also have to get them onto that ship. So it's like, oh, there's something on the hull of the shuttlecraft. So the pilot goes out to get it off.
And they get sucked out.
And then she falls off the shuttle. And I'm like, what? Who would do that? No one would do that.
She come out there with a squeegee? What is happening? All right.
Now, how did they? And then you find out later that the captain set it up like that so that he could beam her aboard. How did he know that was going to happen? That the pilot would get sucked off the shuttlecraft?
Did they rescue that? I have no idea. What is it with them in the eyes? So what's with the eyeballs? The captain has a line. I will use you or anything else I can to achieve my mission.
Dum dum dum.
That's pretty harsh, though. It's like that's. Again, big deviation, you know, thematically from previous shows. Does her roommate have autism? Is that what they're getting at? Is it like a Sheldon thing? Because my God,
I don't know. I guess it's the more of the not so friendly future where it's like, well, she's an idiot, so let's put her alone and make her a weirdo.
Yeah, she's definitely. I mean, and I work with kids with autism all day long. That's what they act like.
I don't know.
Why do they want this to feel like a horror film? I wrote down. They again with the whole alienating the audience thing.
Well, what? So why did that ship have a monster on it?
No idea.
Is it because they were doing research on all these ships and at one point they say like we do 500 research things at once on this ship?
Sure.
Am I assuming that the monster is a research project?
Why not?
Because at the end the captain beams it aboard secretly and puts it in a cage. And his room is full. Kinda. His room is full of like skeletons and things. Like he's been experimenting on animals or something.
Did you catch what skeleton that was?
I wasn't paying attention.
That was a Gorn.
Yeah,
that was a Gorn. Okay, what is a breath print, and why are they so easy to fake?
I wonder. It's like a breathalyzer. They just huff into it for some reason.
Sure.
I guess retinal scans are easy to fake now, so we have to use our breath.
We're like, is like that's better. Like I don't understand. I'm bored halfway through. Blah blah blah. Why would you tell her the details of your secret research? Why would you have her work on it at all? Like they're like, I can't tell you that. That's top secret. Then what is she doing there?
Well, the captain said she had to be there.
Right, but like,
well, they didn't tell her the truth. Obviously, that the propulsion system is not what they're really working on.
I have no idea.
Well, I mean, that's the impression you're supposed to get.
Is it?
Because the whole idea is like, oh, they're using experimental weapons to help kill people, and she calls him out on it. He goes, no, we're using it for propulsion. You're like, okay. And then he kidnaps that monster and brings it aboard. So you're like, okay, this guy's clearly not all what he's saying, so maybe he wasn't being truthful.
Yeah.
I don't know.
when they go and they on the ship and they're looking around in the dark, and they find a Bat'leth like laying there on the floor, and they go, look, the Klingons. All I could think of was like that first ever episode of the Ninja Turtles when they find the rope made in Japan. They go, oh, look, ninjas.
Ninjas. This rope says made in Japan.
And the last note I have is, Christ, I wish I knew what the fuck was going on. Yeah, I have no idea.
No, they don't tell you anything.
Literally, I wrote that down.
And I didn't like how her old crew members were on that ship. Like the tall, skinny alien and the pilot. Yeah. Like, oh, that's convenient. The galaxy's a big place, everyone.
Not that big, apparently.
Everyone knows what she looks like, so it's like, oh, okay, yeah.
So no improvement thus far, eh?
No, I'm just more confused. I don't understand what's going on.
Yeah.
And I know really it's not Star Trek. I'm okay with that, but you got to give me something here.
Well, right, I think that like at some point I'm going to have to, you know, teach my brain to go, it's okay if they call it this and it's not that. Just watch it, and if you like it, great. And if you don't, it's fine too. Mm. But there is a small part of me that just resents the shit out of it.
Yeah, it is a little puzzling, some of the decisions they made. Yeah.
All right, so we'll keep going, folks. But so far,
we'll finish it out. But yeah, not enjoying it. I'm not enjoying watching it. It feels like a chore. Yeah.
All right, another horrible news among all the horrible news that's gone on recently. We lost Tom Petty at the age of 66, died of cardiac arrest at his home someplace. Not sure where he was living. This was the first time that like one of these guys died where I was like, oh yeah, that's too bad, because I grew up with lots of 90s Tom Petty when he was sort of on his way out, but not quite, you know, not quite as bad as it got later. When it was like he was just cranking out whatever, and it wasn't that good. He could still play, but he couldn't write like he used to. But so I thought we'd close out with our top three favorite Tom Petty tunes.
Okay.
So
what do you have?
No, you go first.
Don't Come Around Here No More is a great song.
Ooh,
with a creepy music video.
Really weird video.
Yeah, I love that song. I like how it jams at the end, but I like the slow creepiness of it.
Yeah, it does have a good jam at the end there where they just kind of kick it up and it's like a different song for a few minutes.
Yeah, for like the 45 seconds where it ends, I'm like, yeah, this is a good song. I enjoy Into the Great Wide Open.
Yeah, sure.
Nice little ballad about people going out to find their music dreams.
Yeah.
What could be more relatable, I suppose.
It's like the closest thing he has to a ballad, I think, in general.
Yeah, and then Free Fallin', which is, of course, amazing.
Ah.
Yeah, Free Fall.
Interesting. None of them are mine. I have American Girl, which is, I don't think you have a, you know, that's a timeless rock song. That's just like, everyone knows that song, and no one hates that song. I mean, it was, they used it in...
everything?
Everything, but like the Silence of the Lambs, and that scene where it's just like trying to establish this girl is like the all-American girl he's trying to kidnap and torture and kill. But like, it's just, it's a very identifiable song. Then I have two that are like really not well known at all, because it's one of them is like a B-side from his later stuff, and one is from Wildflowers, which is the album that I most think of when I think of Tom Petty. So that one is You Wreck Me. It's the fourth track on Wildflowers. And it's just a straight up guitar, hard guitar rock song, which is great.
I remember you burning a hole in that CD.
Yeah, no, I love that CD. it's a great album. It really, really is. Recorded at the famous Studio City out there in Seattle or somewhere. Mm. Yeah. And then the last one I have, the number three, is Change the Locks, which is off the soundtrack to the film She's the One, which was an Ed Burns and Jennifer Aniston movie that I don't think did very well, but Tom Petty did the entire soundtrack to that movie. It's just a big Tom Petty album, which
yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, I should have probably watched the movie, because that's kind of a neat idea to have a guy just put a bunch of songs in that movie and then sell it as an album. But Change the Locks is like you took a B.B. King blues song and added a lot more gain in the guitar and just dragged it out for like 5 minutes. That's kind of what this is. And it's one of those ones that like no one really knows, but it's worth checking out. So those are my top three.
Cool. All right. Very, very different.
I thought so. If you guys have a favorite Tom Petty song or want to share us your top three, you can tweet us at the number 3 Drinks In Pod on Twitter. That's at 3 Drinks In Pod. You can send it to us on Instagram. We are 3 Drinks In Podcast. Facebook and the email address are all there too. And if you want to like us and not like us, if you want to follow us or subscribe to us, that's what it is. You can look for us on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, the Google Play Store, and tune in. Like, make sure that you leave a rating and a review if you are so kind.
Okay, cool.
That's it, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Try to do this as fast as possible.
You got it all in.
All right. Under 20 minutes, everybody. Congratulations.
Yeah.
All right. As always, please drink responsibly.
Yeah. Take care.
Adios. I changed the lock on my front door so you can't see me anymore. And you can't come inside my house, and you can't lie down on my couch. I changed the lock on my front door. And I changed the number on my phone so you can't call me up at home. And you can't say those things to me that make me fall down on my knees. I changed the number on my phone. Change the kind of car I drive so you can't see me when I go by. And you can't chase me up the street, and you can't knock me over my feet. I change the kind of car I drive. The kind of clothes I wear so you can't find me anywhere. You can't spot me in a crowd, and you can't call my name out loud. I changed the kind of clothes I wear. I changed the tracks underneath the train so you can't find me ever again. And you can't trace my path, and you can't hear me laugh. And honey, I'm laughing all the time.
swallow me down. And you can't touch me like before, and you can't make me want you more. I changed the name of this town. I changed the lock on my front door. I changed the number on my phone. I changed the kind of car I drive. I changed the kind of clothes I wear. I changed the tracks underneath the train. I changed the name of this town. I changed the name of this town. I changed the name of this town.